We can go ahead and start.
Al, you open us in prayer? Hour ahead. Okay. Well, I'm going back to my book again. I think we're on chapter 4 now. So we may get I don't know how many chapters we have here. We may get through this book in the next 3 or 4 years. There's 13 chapters. So anyway, this chapter deals with 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13 through 20. Okay. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard from us, ye received it not as the word of men, but it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and they are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their own sins alway. For the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavor the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? And not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming, for ye are our glory and our joy. This is just a little book that I picked up. Is this one that Mom used to have, or is that one that? Okay, it's by Warren Wiersbe. Anyway, he's got some notes, and I'll just look through some of the things that I highlighted. And this is the book that has the questions in it that we get to ask you folks. This is a question-answer period. So, it wasn't easy for the Christians at Thessalonica, where the believers faced persecution and suffering. He states there that the church has been founded on the Word of God. And he made several points about, he says they appreciated the Word. They did not receive the Word as it was from men. They received the Word as it was from God. The Bible is different in origin, character, and content, and cost. It was inspired by the Spirit of God. It was written by men who were used of the Spirit. Hi, how are you? Everybody turn around and look at Laura. God's Word is holy, pure, and perfect. The Bible was written at great cost, not only to the writers, but to Jesus Christ, who became the man, the Word, can't even talk tonight, who became man that the Word of God might be given to us. It points out that Jesus Christ is a living Word of God, and the Bible is a written Word of God. That was under the subtitle, the heading of They Appreciated the Word. I didn't know whether I said that or not. They also appropriated the Word. Paul used two different words for receive. The first means simply to accept from one another, while the second means to welcome. One means the hearing of the ear, the other the hearing of the heart. Do you have this book at home too, Beth? The Lord repeatedly warned people about the wrong kind of hearing. Take heed that you hear that you hear. Use every opportunity you have to hear the word of God. Take heed that you hear. Take heed what you hear. How often believers hear the word of God in church, even Craig, Sunday school, in church, and they get in their cars, and then they kind of forget what was going on. Forget the word. They listen to the radio or whatever, and they just kind of forget what they had heard at church, like I do a lot of times, unfortunately. And the other one was take heed how you hear. Many people are careless hearers and cannot apply themselves to listen to the teaching of God's word. And then the next subheading is they applied the word. They obeyed the word by faith, and the word went to work in their lives. It is not enough to appreciate the Bible or even appropriate the Bible. We must apply the word in our lives and be hearers and doers of the word. Pardon me? Okay. All right. Has everybody been able to hear me so far? Okay, good. The word of God within us is a great source of power in times of testing and suffering. If we appreciate the word in the heart, appropriate the word in the mind, and apply the word in the will, then the whole person will be controlled by God's word, and he will give us victory. There's all kinds of headings in here that I keep getting to talk about. The first heading was God's word within us. This is God's people around us. This is dealing with verses 14 through 16. Not only were the Thessalonian saints imitators of the Lord and Paul, but they also became imitators of the Jewish believers in their experience of persecution. The saints in Judea suffered at the hands of the Jews, and the saints in Thessalonica suffered at the hands of the Gentiles. But I thought it was kind of interesting. He said, but keep in mind that even the Gentile persecution was encouraged by the Jewish non-believers. So, and he speaks a little bit about Paul's... Was Paul giving evidence of religious bigotry when he accused the Jews of killing Jesus and persecuting the Christians? And he says no. He says there nowhere in the Bible, nowhere does the Bible accuse all Jews of what a few Jews did in Jerusalem and Judea when Christ was crucified and the church founded. And he also notes that it was our sins that sent Christ to the cross, not just a few Jews. There's no place in the Christian faith for anti-Semitism. Also, he asked this question, why then did the leaders of Israel officially reject Christ and persecute his followers? And he points out they were only repeating the sins of their fathers. Before Jesus came to the earth, they could not see that their laws was only a temporary preparation for God's new covenant of grace, but rejected God's truth. They protected their man-made traditions. Isn't that something? We all kind of have those, don't we? To some extent. He points out one of the values of the local church as they stand together in times of difficulty and encourage one another. He also points out a lonely saint is very vulnerable to attacks of Satan. We need each other in the battles of life. And then he talks about God's glory before us. Paul made every effort possible to return to them, but Satan was breaking up the road and putting up obstacles. And literal meaning to hindering in 2:18. Paul looked ahead by faith and saw his friends in the presence of Christ in glory. Paul lived in a future tense as well as a present. His actions were governed by that of God. His actions were governed by what God would do in the future. The fact that we shall one day stand in judgment seat of Christ ought to motivate us to be faithful in spite of difficulties. We must remember that faithfulness is the important thing. Kind of ties in with this morning, doesn't it? His joy of greeting believers in heaven also brings with it the solemn warning that we lose joy if we go to heaven empty-handed. And then the fact that God promises rewards to us is another evidence of his grace. God could demand our service on the basis of all that he's done for us. Our motive for serving him is love. In his grace, he gives us rewards so that we may have something to give him in return. And now we get to your part. Chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 through 20. In what ways does persecution affect faith? I'm sorry, you're going to have to talk up. My hearing aids only go so high.
It proves it.
Proves us, okay. Anything else?
And strengthens it.
Yeah. Any other?
It purifies.
Okay. All right. How is it that the people of faith so often experience joy even in persecution? Anything else? I'm sorry. I can only.
Yeah, okay. Because of what the other lady said, the trying, the proving, the persecution, from my experience, it lets me know where I am before the Lord. Is my faith real? Is it not? Is my family's faith real? Is it not? Then either you'll run.
If nobody's bothering you, if everything's going along just fine, and everybody else has been persecuted, does that mean something sometimes, maybe? And maybe that you need to figure out where you're at with the Lord? Anything else? Okay. How can we not just accept the Word of God, but also welcome it, as Paul said, and said as the Thessalonians did? Get that up. How can we not just accept the Word of God, but also welcome it? Remember, accept was by the... What did I say? Accept was by the head, and the other was by the heart. Yeah. What was the question again? Okay. How can we not just accept the Word of God, but also welcome it, as Paul said, Thessalonians did? We accept the Word of God right here, but we also need to welcome it here. Anything else? Okay. When you are suffering, what kind of comfort is it that others... Okay. When you are suffering, what kind of comfort is it that others have suffered before you? And I don't know how to think about that. I mean, if you're suffering, you know, should I get comfort in the fact that somebody else has suffered, or... I mean, I don't know. I don't know how to put my arms around that.
Misery certainly loves company. Misery loves company.
Yeah.
But even in, just in the body of Christ, I think it builds us up and gives us courage, and, you know, it helps us to stand fast in the faith, knowing that there are other martyrs and other faithful Christians who've gone before us. I mean, just thumbing through the hymn book and you see John Newton and William Cooper and Fanny Crosby, and just think those are faithful men and women who've already left this earth and are in the presence of the Lord. And not like they were persecuted or that I'm being persecuted, but I don't know, it strengthens my faith. And
well,
other people have lived and died in the faith.
Yeah, I can see that, but I'm, you know, my thought was, why should somebody else? Why should it lessen my anguish if somebody else has been hurt too? You know, I don't know. I guess that's just. Okay.
And if they can do that in the face of greater adversity, we can hold up or continue to draw our strength from the Word and from fellow believers and from the Lord, just as they do.
Yeah. And
Right.
But God is faithful to provide a way out. And the Holy Spirit thought it was important enough, at least in the context of temptation, to tell us that other people of faith have come through the same things triumphant. And so I think that there is some help in knowing that, as Hebrews 11 said, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Therefore, you know, there's just worth the reward. It's worth going through strong, I guess.
Okay. This is good. You guys do really good. Okay. Anything else on that? Okay. What is the role of the church in our lives when we are suffering? Anything else? Think of a time when you have wanted to give up spiritually. What are the kinds of things that give you faith and energy to keep going? Right.
And I recently went through a bout of pain, severe pain, extremely severe pain for almost 3 months. It wasn't the worst pain I'd ever been through, and it wasn't the longest, but it was bad. And as I was in the deepest part of that pain, I thought, you know, even if this never let up, even if it got worse, even if I got angry at you, Lord, what choice would I have but to love you and serve you? Because there is none other. There is no other option. No other option. You are everything. My very breath comes from you. So no matter what you do to me, I have no choice but to love you and serve the living Word.
Anything else? Okay. Paul said his crown would be the people he had influenced for God. How do you relate to Paul's hope of that crown? How do you relate to Paul's hope of that crown? He was speaking, and the crown was his reward for the believers that he would see in heaven. It's the last part of the Well, you know, when we were at Northwest, we worked in the WANO program. And when we were at Glendale and Bowling Green, we were in the bus ministry. And I would hope that, you know, we had enough impact on some of those kids in those groups that one day when we're in heaven, someone will come up and say, "Hey, you remember me?" It's like I'm going to do that girl who never knew me that sent the track to her boyfriend. You know? Reward or whatever, that's something that we're going to, you know, it's going to be placed at Jesus' feet. So, I mean, it's not ours, it's for Him. No, no, I don't think so. I think it was just a, what's that word? Just a word for something else, you know. It's not going to be a crown. It's going to be a reward that we're going to be able to place at Jesus' feet.
I might be interpreting this wrong. That to me, it reads that Christ is the crown. We stand before Him. He is our crown. Start talking about who is our crown or our reward. Me and my wife are talking about the crowns. It's like, well, thank you, Lord, but you're really the only thing we need. Just to be in your presence is beyond our comprehension. And that's the way I interpret it, right? I could be wrong.
Yeah. Well, in this context, for what is our hope or joy or crown for rejoicing, are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? I mean, He was talking about, you know, the believers that were going to be there. For ye are our glory and joy. So, I mean, I think in this context it was speaking of, you know, you are going to be the crown, you know. But anyway, anything else? Yeah, Al. Wow.
She was okay.
Yeah. How long did it take her to get over this?
I think a few days.
I guess so. Okay. Anything else on that? Okay. Who are the people you most hope to see when you get to heaven? Well, anything else on that question? Okay.
Obviously, we all testify, we want to see Christ, but we know we'll have the joy of fellowship, like Sandy said, with people who are important to us. But we have the whole written word full of men and women that we look forward to meeting and rejoicing and getting to know better and praising our Lord together. Can you imagine standing side by side with the greats of the Bible, Daniel, David, Samuel, and just praising the Lord together. And that's just an awesome to comprehend that. So these characters that we read about, they're there, and our brethren, and we're going to see them. And we're going to praise the Lord Jesus together. We're going to praise the Father together throughout all eternity. It's just incomprehensible, almost.
You know, sometimes I think about saying Christ, and I think it's going to be so awesome. I'm going to be scared to death. You know, I mean, it just, you know, somebody that can speak the universe into existence, we don't even come close to fathoming the power and awe that God is. I don't know. Anything else? Okay, we have one more question. Paul identified our spiritual resources as the Word of God within, the people of God around, and the glory of God ahead. What do these resources offer us in our spiritual journey right now? Okay.
Hope.
Okay. Al? Anything else? Okay, well, that was the last question. That's the end of this week's, or this month's, or whenever, lesson in Thessalonians. Jim, do you mind?